Hi there. Welcome to the Agency Toolkit Podcast, a podcast where we discuss stories, strategies, and techniques to help you build a successful and profitable digital marketing agency. Our episodes contain inspiring conversations with CEOs and entrepreneurs and leave you with actionable tips, ideas, and strategies you can implement into your business today. We are happy to have you with us. So grab a cup of coffee, sit back, and get inspired.
Hey, Julia here. If you'd like to grow your agency with a new free traffic source, we've put together a free resource for you called the Agency Traffic Blueprint, which outlines how you can acquire free organic traffic for your agency's website using Powered by Marketing. You can get that at getrubyrobin.com/blueprint or check the description of this episode for the link.
Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of the Agency Toolkit. I am your host, Julia McLaughlin. So my guest today is Kim Grennan, who is the owner of Axel 8, which is a boutique digital marketing agency that was established 6 years ago in Phoenix. Kim came from a background in corporate strategy and finance and then turned her strategy consulting business into a full-on marketing agency at the age of 25. So today we are going to be discussing Kim's journey of building her agency and what she's learned along the way. So thanks so much for joining us today, Kim.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to speak a little bit more.
Perfect. So to get started, let's dive into a couple questions so our listeners can get to know you a little bit. So what really motivates or inspires you as an entrepreneur?
For me, everything's really centered around this concept of financial freedom. So from a very young age, I was really intrigued by how I might be able to kind of chart my own path. So I always kind of, I don't know if knowing is the right thing to say, but, you know, I always presumed I would be an entrepreneur. So even from some of my first businesses in my teens to kind of where I am now, it's something that's always been really top of mind. Financial freedom and financial literacy is something that I've always been pretty adamant about. And I read a lot about financial markets and entrepreneurship and how to run a successful business. And, you know, really understanding financial planning is important to me. But I will say I'm probably not like most people where I don't have a personal budget. I don't kind of really micromanage my own kind of budget and things that I do, but I'm really more focused on the opportunities of how to grow revenue, how to grow my own income. So that's kind of what initially motivated me to kind of try different things in new businesses.
Very interesting. That's very cool. And then, so I am very intrigued to know, you know, how did you originally get into digital marketing? And then of course, you know, then we'll talk about, you know, what's your story about starting your agency?
Yeah, I kind of fell into this opportunity. So I started originally working in investment banking. And then from there, I moved into corporate strategy. I was doing mergers and acquisitions and venture capital investing for Verizon out in their Boston office. And while I was doing that, I was working really hand in hand with startup companies at very early stages. And there I really understood or was able to understand how important good marketing is to the success of any business. And then it started to really intrigue me because I'm a very data-driven person, but I'm also very creative. So I like to exercise both sides of my brain. And yeah. I really fell in love with the concept of marketing that you can really, you know, use both sides of those brains in marketing. And I really thought it was more of the creative side, but there's so much data analysis and everything that goes into marketing that I didn't really know. So I started self-educating, reading up a lot, working with some of these entrepreneurs to understand what they were doing, figuring out some really cool growth hacks and things like that. So from there, I just completely pivoted. I quit my job working in Boston for VC and M&A, and I went to work at a marketing agency and started really learning more of the ins and outs of how to operate one. And then I started my own after a year of kind of living in an actual another marketing agency and kind of seeing how they operated. But I will say it wasn't my original intent to start my own agency. I actually started out really doing strategy consulting for startup companies and more wanted marketing. And originally I wasn't doing just that, but then it kind of fell into let's fully do the marketing agency thing and start to build it out. So it was several years where I was just, I call it Kim the Contractor days, where it was just me. I was a one woman show. And, you know, after 2 or 3 years, I really decided to, okay, I'm going to start hiring full-time help. I'm going to hire locally in Phoenix and, you know, build out an agency with a physical location. Mm-hmm. That's changed a little bit since then, but yeah, that's kind of my journey in terms of how I kind of got to where I am today.
Very cool. And then, so do you guys still focus on serving startups, or have you kind of branched out as you guys have grown?
Yeah, so we do work with several tech and venture-backed startup companies. For the most part, that is not our core audience any longer. We do work with kind of small to medium-sized businesses, but for the most part, we're focusing on medium-sized businesses, primarily on the B2B side of things, but we're no longer just focusing on the startup companies.
Okay. And then, so how do you really differentiate yourselves from other agencies?
Yeah, so we are one of thousands of agencies out there, so it's really hard to differentiate across all the competition for sure. One thing that I will say, and what we hear from a lot of our clients, is that we're much more personable, flexible, and relationship oriented. And that's something that we really pride ourselves in, where you're not just interacting with one person on our team, you're interacting with a lot of people on our team. You're getting to know us. We know all of our clients by, you know, their first name, their last name, their dog's name, what they like to do on Friday night. You know, we get really kind of personal and develop those deep relationships. And that's something that's really important to us. We're sending our clients personal presents constantly. So we just had a client, for example, who just had a baby. We sent them Axel 8 little baby onesie and a couple of other little things. So we're constantly trying to think about how we can really wow them with an experience that is a little bit more personal and kind of like this industry where you can get a lot of, you know, people who are having, you know, like providing the same services. So it can be very difficult to differentiate, or at least, you know, express how you might be different, because it's really a business of, you know, who's better than the other, which people do you have that are better than, you know, the next agency and their people and processes and things like that. So That's one thing that I will say is a little bit different for us.
Yeah. And I found that really interesting how you have, so you have multiple people from your team who are dealing directly with your client. I think that's really smart, because I think one thing that agencies can run into when you only have one person who's responsible for interacting with the client is if that team member leaves, then that is your, your lifeline almost to the client. So yeah, I think that's really smart to ensure that you're not, that you're really diversifying who is connecting with your client to ensure that that doesn't happen.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, most marketing agency operators and owners, they know that this business happens to have a pretty high employee churn. And that's something that we try to battle. We try to be really focused on our company culture. We have, you know, company retreats. We all fly in together and hang out. We have a very relaxed internal kind of culture. We're all remote now. As of January 1st of this year, we went fully remote, and now we hire across the country, everyone from Alaska to West Virginia and in between. We have full-time employees, but we're also all, you know, relatively young, all within our 30s and 20s. So we keep it very light and fresh and try to stay very relevant as well. So it's been a lot of fun. And I will say we're all very tight knit, but if we can keep that culture the way it is, we've proven that we're able to retain our employees almost twice as long as the industry average, if not more. We've had several employees with us since the inception as well. So that's something that's really important to us, because to your point, if one person leaves, that could really disrupt the entire account, depending upon, you know, how pivotal that one person might be for any particular account at your agency.
Yeah, absolutely. And so why do you think that the churn rate is so high with employees in the digital marketing space? I know I have some thoughts regarding, I know it's a very fast paced industry, and I wonder if, you know, burnout has something to do with it, but I'm really curious to know like what your thoughts are on it.
I think it has to do, yeah, possibly with the pace and the differences from if you're working at an agency, you might be working on, you know, a dozen different accounts versus if you were an in-house marketer, you're just responsible for one, you know, one brand in most scenarios. And, you know, it's like you have one job versus almost having like 12 different jobs under one umbrella. So I can see how that could be very overwhelming for certain people, but for others, it could also be very exciting when you're not doing the same thing every day. You're, you know, getting to do something new and think about new industries, different strategies. So I think it's also a personality type, but it can be a lot. And depending upon, you know, the client and how they're feeling as well, you have a lot of different personalities to deal with and try to kind of navigate to.
Mm-hmm. So it's really important to just, you know, do your due diligence when you're hiring and find someone who is, you know, a good fit, who's going to, you know, fit in with that fast paced type of work environment and who enjoys, you know, different types of tasks being thrown at them. And just, you know, genuinely wants to grow with the company.
Yeah, exactly. And that's something that we've been really trying to figure out how to sift through in our recruiting process. You know, asking questions like, tell me about a time where you felt really stressed in your last agency. A question like that can really kind of get, or can quickly, you can understand what might make that person very, you know, in a tight place, or, you know, if they're like, oh, you know, I was on, at least for us, you know, I was on five different accounts and there was just a lot going on that day. That for us might be an indicator that they might be overwhelmed if they're managing 10 different accounts, versus if they're like, oh, well, I had 150 different accounts I was trying to manage in this 1 month, everything was due. It's like that kind of volume is a lot for our agency, where for us, you know, any particular person is probably on, you know, anywhere from 5 to 12 different accounts. So trying to understand and trying to figure that out is very challenging, but we've been trying to figure out questions that we can ask to try to get to the root of would they do well juggling multiple clients realistically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely not easy finding people that are, you know, a good fit for, and then, you know, your culture and who are going to reflect your values through to your clients at the end of the day as well.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So yeah, tell me a little bit more about, you know, what your culture is like and, you know, what your values are within your agency. If you guys have core values that you use.
Yeah. So our culture, I will say is, and I haven't been at very many different companies other than my own. So, you know, asking our employees is probably a better indicator of this, but yeah. From my perspective, it's, you know, I did work at like a big, you know, Fortune 100 company. So I can understand how, you know, it was very slow moving. Ours is very fast paced, but it's also very young, fun. And we are very, very casual, I will say. So that's been a lot of fun. So we are a completely remote company. We happen to be, all of us are women, except we have one man on our team. We're trying to grow that, but it has always been, historically, we were a fully, you know, woman-run business and everything. So that was always very interesting to navigate to and so much fun. I also, one of my first full-time hires was my best friend, and she's still with the agency. She's still one of our executives. And then I also brought on someone else who was a very close friend of mine for in an executive role. And so it's been really fun. And I think that because we've just all been so close and we're all, you know, almost like a best friend level, that really kind of trickles down to the rest of the company where, you know, we don't really have, you know, filters. We're sending through funny videos. We're doing a bunch of stuff that, you know, maybe in like a corporate environment wouldn't be something you feel comfortable doing. But for us, we all love to have a good time and get a good laugh in. So it's been really fun. And we're very flexible. I will say, probably unlike other agencies, and I know a lot of other agencies probably say this, but for me, it's really important where I will not work past 5 p.m. We work from 9 to 5, and that is it. We don't work on the weekends or anything like that. A lot of agencies, I hear that there can be a lot of burnout because of the long hours.
Yeah.
But for me, I will literally turn off my computer. If you email me, I won't even check my email after 5 p.m. If anyone's slacking after that time, our whole team will, you know, get those notifications like, you know, like go spend time with your family. Everyone's kind of giving them a hard time or whatever. So that's been, that's something that's pretty core to us. But in terms of our actual core values, we do have them. We have three that we kind of practice and preach within our agency. One being, you know, do what's right. It's really important to us in our relationships that we're always making the right calls. And we're very ethical in what we're, you know, what we're doing, no matter the circumstance. So do what's right.
Love that.
Our other one is figure shit out. I will say we're like a very scrappy bunch where, you know, it might not be something that we technically normally deliver on, but you know what? If they don't have the resources, if our client needs something figured out, we'll do it. We're gonna go in, dig. We're going to figure it out because we love to learn and we love to try new things. And then thirdly, be different, be distinctly different is what we call it, where, you know, we don't want to be like every other agency. We want to bring radical, new, bold ideas to the table and try things that might kind of shake up our clients' industries. We have a lot of clients that are in financial services and healthcare and insurance and things like that, industries where it can just be a lot of the sea of sameness that you're seeing on the marketing front. So we really encourage employees to just be different across everything that they do.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's so cool. And yeah, you're really injecting your personality into your brand and helping just to stand out to prospects as well. So yeah, I really love those core values. So
thank you.
Yeah, for sure. So I'd love to talk a little bit about sales now. So how does your agency bring in prospects and, or rather leads into your agency? And then, you know, how do you close those prospects?
Yeah. So we have, myself, I'm the salesperson of the team. And then we also recently hired, it's actually been about a year now, a business development manager. So between myself and that person, we're really kind of just doing the cold outreach. We leverage LinkedIn Sales Navigator a lot. So we'll think of ways to kind of creatively identify opportunities through that. I'll give you an example. So we might see that someone recently left a job and moved to a new company. So we might see this new company and say, oh, this person's the new VP of marketing here, and they've been in this role for 3 months. So we might reach out to that person because any new change in an organization, that's usually a great time to intercept, have a new conversation with them. They might be thinking of changing how they're doing their marketing. So we'll reach out directly through LinkedIn, but also we'll figure out their direct email address and message them that way. But then secondarily, we'll go back and see, okay, where did they work before? Where that person just left from? And then we'll message someone at that previous company. Like, I know that, you know, Caroline just left. We wanted to see if we could be a resource to plug in and help kind of fulfill all of your marketing needs in lieu of her. things like that, where we'll actively be looking through Sales Navigator to try to find those opportunities. Outside of that, we are kind of looking at who's posting new jobs and, you know, what are they looking for? Does that align with what we're good at doing? And then we'll actively reach out to those people to see if it, you know, we'll figure out who the decision maker might be in that role. Maybe it's a CMO, VP, director, whatever that might look like, and reach them directly and kind of pitch the opportunity and see if we can get a call with them. So that's how we're getting most of our business, our net new business. Outside of that, we are, like very many other agencies, a lot of referrals we still get. And we have a referral kind of incentive for our existing clients. If they have, they know of anyone, then we'll give them a little bit off of their monthly retainer if they refer us and we actually get them as a client.
Okay.
And we also have that internally for employees. If they introduce us to an opportunity and we actually close that deal, then they also get incentivized for that too. So a lot of our business is referral based from our clients, employees, or just people within our network that know of us and friends.
Okay, interesting. Okay, so you've got the referrals and then you've got the referral incentive as well from your team and cut from your clients. And then so you do the cold email using LinkedIn Sales Navigator. So that's basically how you're bringing in the bulk of leads into your agency.
That's right. And then we do get, you know, maybe 4 to 5 leads that come in direct through our website through a variety of different things, you know, awards that we have, top agency listings, things like that, where that's not a huge amount of our business, but we do get leads through that as well.
Okay, very cool. So what are some tips that you have for maintaining really happy clients who are going to stay loyal to you guys?
Yeah, that's something that we also try to figure out how to do every single month. But I will say, it is something that we think about pretty actively, and we try to just, you know, really remain personal with them. So outside of business stuff, like, we'll talk about that, but we always, for all of our client calls, we kind of reserve the first 5 minutes where internally we know, like, we don't want to talk about, like, the business at all. We want to ask them, like, personal questions, you know, how's so-and-so's wife, how are the kids, how's, you know, Buster the dog doing, things like that. So we try to kind of remain relevant, and we're most typically we're like very connected with them, even on social media. So we'll bring up, oh, I saw that story you posted on whatever, where, you know, we kind of try to engage at that level. So it is more of, you know, building a friendship that I think kind of promotes a good foundation of just trust in us.
So that's really cool.
Important for our team.
Yeah, I think that's such a smart thing to just put into your processes as well. Just, yeah, making sure that you are nurturing that relationship with your clients on a personal level as well, because it's the best feeling when you have a client that you've almost become friends with because you've been working with them for so long. It just makes everything so much more fun, and you love doing the work with that person. So yeah, I think that's so smart. So what would you say has been the biggest overall challenge that you've had to overcome as you've been growing your agency?
For whatever reason, this always seems like the case for us, where we'll be growing very significantly, then all of a sudden it feels like our team, you know, is maxed out. So then and it stops, and we're hiring, and there's kind of a lull, and then it's like we need to find more deals, find more clients. So it's like constantly this like up and down where, you know, I feel like I never feel as though we can get ahead of the curve in terms of hiring and, you know, planning for our growth consistently without making it miserable for our team, because that's something that we don't want to do, where we turn down business all the time just by knowing that morale for the week is down for our team. If everyone's super busy, they're bogged down, I don't want to introduce a new client into that environment and have my team, you know, feel really stressed out.
Yeah,
exactly. So for me, it's really trying to figure out how to keep everyone happy while also growing the business, hiring new people. Hiring is something that's been a very big challenge, because we are very particular in who we do hire and put them through a lot of different, tests and a lot of rounds of interviews, and make sure they are fully aligned with our culture and how they might interact with the client. So all of our full-time hires also are client-facing as well. So outside of being really exceptional at what they do, they also need to be, you know, pretty good with communicating to a client in a way that's really positive and consultative. So it's a challenge to find someone who can do all of those things sometimes.
Okay. So just keeping up with your agency's growth has been a challenge.
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
And looking back on, you know, where you've come from to, you know, where you are now, what are some things that you've learned along the way, you know, as you've been scaling the agency?
Oh, I don't think there's any lack of things that I have learned, but for some reason I think for me, it's just at an agency, you're really only as strong as your team. So making sure that you find the right people and people who you can trust has been really, really pivotal for me, where, you know, my executive team, I know I can trust them with everything. I don't even run the day-to-day operations of the business anymore, and I fully trust our president, who does do that, to with every single decision of the business, where, you know, no one's micromanaging anyone. So that's been huge. So finding the right people is something that's always been really top of mind for me, because it's also a reflection of the agency who you hire. So
yeah, absolutely.
Everything for us.
Very cool. So where do you see Axel 8 Marketing in 5 years' time?
5 years, continuing to grow. I'm hoping that we have, you know, developed even better processes for us to scale, have maybe developed more training. We've been talking about possibly kind of having our own training for every new employee who comes on, where they spend the first 3 months going through active training on, this is our point of view of how we think, how we look at things and what we do, versus a lot of people now they're coming on and like, do you know, the ad platforms, like we're going through more of that. And they're like, yes, I know this. They have their own points of view, which is great. We never want to take that away, but we really want to develop a training program, even for, you know, people out of college and things like that, who, you know, they don't have the experience, where we can kind of give them all of the training and kind of craft these perfect accelerators for our company. So maybe that'll be the case in 5 years from now, but really in general, just looking to grow in a way that's more efficient to scale is kind of our goal.
Very interesting. And I love how you call your employees accelerators. It's so fun. So we are getting ready to wrap up here shortly, but first we have the Fast Five, which are 5 rapid fire questions. So what is a book you've read that's made an impact on you?
So this kind of ties back to one of the first questions that you did ask me. My favorite book and one of the first books I can ever remember reading that made an impact on me was Rich Dad, Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. And it really helped me understand the different stages that, you know, you need to go through in order to hit financial independence, where you don't need a job, you don't need you know, to do these things that everyone else says you need to do. And, you know, myself growing up, you know, you hear you need to study, you need to get good grades so you can get hired by a good company, then work there for a long time, climb the ladder, and that's how you can obtain success. But he puts it in a different perspective on how to achieve that. So that was, you know, I remember reading that book at, you know, age 12 and thinking it was so cool. So I still kind of abide by his plan for how to attain wealth.
Yeah. Oh, that's so cool that you were reading books like that at age 12. That's that's amazing. And then, so next question, what does your morning routine look like?
My morning routine in the past 5 months has been very different than before. I have a 5-month-old baby girl now, so it's very much, so it's changed a lot. So in the mornings, I'll wake up and I will immediately get myself ready first, and then I'll wake her up and just hang out with her, honestly, and just kind of relax and wait for our nanny to come. And then I kind of step into the office and get working for the day.
Very good. And is there a CEO that you follow or study?
So one of my favorite people is, he's actually the CEO of the Black Swan Group. His name's Chris Voss. He's an ex-FBI hostage negotiator. And I took his masterclass a couple of years ago, and that's how I even come to know of him. And he just has a really, really interesting perspective on how to shape conversations in a positive way. And it's really helped on the sales side of things, but also just getting people to react more positively in anything that, you know, that's happening within a conversation. He has so many really, really interesting things that, you know, he used to apply to hostage negotiations, but you can apply to everyday life. And it's really intriguing. So Chris Voss is my guy right now.
Yes, I read one of his books. The name is escaping me. But yeah, it's basically, it just talks all about his sales strategies and things that he found that worked while he was doing the hostage negotiating. Like one tip that kind of stuck with me is, you know, for example, you could use this if, say, you were doing like a cold call, and you can frame it as if like you're calling out the emotion that the person is feeling. So like no one really likes getting a cold call. So the way he framed it was, you know, I know this is probably annoying for you. Like no one really likes getting a cold call. And then, so like you're calling out the emotion they're feeling, and then you would, you know, go on to like introduce yourself or whatever. I just thought that was a really cool technique.
Yeah. He has so many really cool ones. I would really suggest anyone taking his masterclass too. It's so good. And there's so much to learn from it. I always kind of will tap into my notes again, like, oh, I forgot about that one. I want to use that one in this call I have, or whatever it might be.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. And what is your favorite online tool?
My favorite is probably Loom. It's just, for us, since we are a fully remote company, Loom basically is just a quick way for all of us internally, but also to communicate with our clients. We can record our screen really quickly and just kind of walk someone through, instead of writing a very long email that might get confusing, say, okay, here's what I'm seeing on your site. This is what I'm talking about. And kind of pull up multiple screens and just record a quick, you know, less than 5-minute video. It automatically generates a URL that you can send to, you know, your team or a client. And also just kind of helps with the humanizing who we are, which is, you know, something that we've talked about, where we want to build relationships versus an email can be not quite as personal, but a video can get there a little bit more.
Awesome. Yeah. I love Loom. It's such a handy tool. And last question, what's one thing you wish you had known when you began your career?
I think for me, something that's really important was that I thought that I had to choose a I thought I had to go get my MBA. I thought I had to choose like the right actual field in what I studied and whatnot in order to get into anything else. But I don't think that's important at all. In fact, I don't think, you know, MBAs or graduate degrees or anything like that are very important in my field right now. So that's something that I wish I would not have spent money on in hindsight. I mean, it got me where I am today, but I personally think that you can learn so much through Google, and if you're curious enough, there's ample free information out there to learn anything you might need to know.
Yes, especially in the digital marketing industry. I've interviewed countless entrepreneurs who are fully self-taught. I would actually say the majority of them, because it really hasn't been something that they've been teaching in colleges and universities for really that long. Mm-hmm. Google is definitely your best friend as a digital marketer.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Kim. It was a pleasure to have you on the show, and I really enjoyed chatting with you.
Likewise, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it.
Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Agency Toolkit. We hope you've learned something new that you can implement into your agency today. If you liked this episode, please subscribe to our podcast, and we'll see you next time.